Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Good art today.
We are. This will be show 501.
Woohoo!
By my calculation, first one after the 500 would be 501. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're really good at math.
Yeah, well, it's a specialty I have.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I can take 500 and add one to it and come up with 501, yeah. Yep, so thanks to everybody who participated, watched, and are watching the 500 show. That was a lot of fun. That was 2 hours plus of fun with just a whole rack of really great designers and stitchers. And, yeah, that was a great time. Yep.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And I think I've got to go back and watch because I was busy in the background doing a couple of things. I need to go back and look at some of the samplers again that people showed.
yeah.
Some of those are really nice.
Yeah, there was some enabling going on there. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sure was.
We were trying to be helpful.
Yeah. Yep. So check that out. That was a fun one. And then we had a week off, which, quite frankly, I really needed. I needed a week of not recording anything. Yeah.
Right. Just a break. And did you get a little stitching time?
I did. I've started a new project, a Gay Ann Rogers, the Lady Mary Geometric. I started that. And monkeyed around with a couple others, but decided to work on that one. So a new project coming up. And an appointment for Thursday to have Hannah Longstreth framed.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. That's
yep.
exciting. So you found a framer.
Yeah, found a framer who they pin. We asked if they laced, and they pin, which is fine with me. I don't care as long as it's done right. They've been around, I think they told Margus some 70 or 80 years. So they'll be okay.
Right. They'll be fine.
Yep. So Hannah Longstreth's going to get framed. So the wall outside my studio has the clock. It's a wall clock, you know, with the pendulum and everything that we got from my aunt. And then Marga asked me to paint that wall a denim blue. So the clock's hanging on there, and then Hannah Longstreth will go pretty much dead center in that. On that wall, so it'll be a real nice display. So
are you thinking about putting a mat around it or just doing a frame?
I think we're going no mat.
Nice.
Yeah, I think no mat. It doesn't strike me as one that needs a mat.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. You know how you get to a framer and the ideas start coming, and then you see the mats, and then you know it always changes.
Right.
But. Right. So we'll see. But anyway, yeah, she's gonna get framed, so that'll be nice.
Very nice.
Yep.
And how big is she?
Well, that's big. That's is it?
I think so.
14, 12 by 14 or something like that. Yeah, it's a big big piece. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no, it'll hold its own on that. It's not a real long wall, it's a short wall, but yeah, it'll hold its own in that space, no question. Yeah. So excited to have that. Yep. Get it off the roll. And
all right. Well, that brings me to my question. I have a question. How do you store your finished pieces? You said on a roll.
I store. If it's linen or a flexible cloth like that, then I cut pieces of PVC pipe. And I roll them on the PVC pipe.
Okay. Do you put anything between the pipe and your linen or your
cloth? No. I make sure that that's absolutely clean.
Okay.
I rub alcohol on it and clean it and make sure that nothing's going to transfer because the pipe's inert, or should be,
right.
as much as possible. And then, I'll roll it on the pipe and then I wrap it in acid-free tissue paper before I put it anywhere. So, and then it goes in like in a plastic garbage bag or something like that. But yeah, it's all wrapped up. And
yeah, keep it out of light. Keep it away from dust.
Right. So yeah. So any of the ones that are partially finished, they're all wrapped up. There's a couple of lengths of PVC pipe in the garage that I keep specifically for that. And even like my little banding sampler. That mm-hmm. isn't long-term storage. That's just stored in my to-go bag. And I have, probably half-inch PVC pipe, just a short piece of it. And I mm-hmm. store that on there in my bag and just wrap a Velcro strap around it to keep it together. And that's how that's carried. So that way it won't get wrinkled. In any way, it won't get folded or creased or anything, and that's why I do it, is I don't want any creases. But yeah, I've got that banding sampler, and I've got one other one. I haven't hauled it out in a long time, but Old World Santa's piece that I'm doing, that is also rolled up on PVC pipe. So yeah, once I've gotten all the wrinkles out, then it. If it's stored in any way for any length of time, it's on or rolled up on PVC so that we don't get new wrinkles. And I don't keep it in hoops any more than I have to, you know. So
Right. Yeah, I'm asking because I just finished Spring Hill mm-hmm. yesterday.
Yay. And it's that's huge.
That is.
I mean, let's just take a moment for that. That's huge.
Put the last little bit of that green in there, and it looks nice. But I'm like, okay, am I really going to take this to get framed anytime soon? And I'm thinking, probably not like anytime soon. And I'm thinking, well, it's on the millennial frame and it has a lot of fabric underneath it. I didn't cut it in half or anything. I just plopped it on there and started stitching. And I was thinking, well, now what am I going to do? So I just rolled it all up and put it in its a pillowcase and put it downstairs. And I'm thinking, this is not a good plan.
No.
I've got to find a better, this has got to have a better plan.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that's what I need to do because mainly I've finished canvas pieces and they're just hanging or in those bags you get from when you get sheets.
Yeah.
Because they're nice square size and I just prop them in there, take them off their stretcher bars and keep them straight and they're fine. But I'm thinking, no, I got to figure out something else with this. And that's why I was asking you, where do you place them? You know, what do you do with them when you're done? I mean, I know I'm going to frame this piece. I've taken so much time on it. it's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece and I love the color. So I do want to frame it. But I'm debating, do I want to wait and frame it, start Autumn Hill, and then, you know, have frames that match, you know, what am I going to do? And then like, oh, so it's not going to be framed right now. And I just have to do something. And we used to, now years ago, and I even found a piece like this. We would take the tubes from paper towels.
Oh.
And we'd wrap, and I thought, this is bad, because you know this tube is not acid free.
There's so much acid in that cardboard. Yeah, you don't want that, no.
Right. And no. It's like, no, that's not going to work. And so, yeah, I was thinking, okay, so I'm going into town tomorrow. So I might be talking my husband into stopping and getting, I need a piece of PVC. Why do you need that, dear? I finished a project.
Yeah. And, you know, and the inclination is that you would think, all right, the best thing would be wooden dowels.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the last thing, other than cardboard, the last thing I would wrap it around because you don't know what's going to leach out of that wood. I don't care how old it is or cured. I wouldn't take the chance.
Right.
PVC, you know, and I figure anything you wrap around PVC, even if it is to leach any chemicals, it's not going to be, you know, it's not like it's going to be for decades wrapped around the PVC.
Right.
So, but yeah, I do take them, I cut them, I ream out the ends to get all the loose pieces from cutting, and then I thoroughly clean with alcohol. I mean, I go out of my way to clean with alcohol to make sure that that surface. And then I use artist tape to anchor the edge so that I can roll it fairly tight.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Another thing that you can, for storage, especially for bigger pieces like that one, like Spring Hill, is to go to an art supply store and get those tubes that architects use.
Right.
Those are a really good way to store stuff. Now, I would still wrap it in the PVC, and I would still put it in a plastic bag, and I would not seal up the plastic bag. Just put it in there so things don't, it protects the stitching. But then to store, because a lot of those, you can, if you don't get big, thick PVC, you can get two or three in a tube. And then they're all sealed up, out of light, and well protected. And then you don't have to think about them. And, you know, that's another way. But yeah, I've got a couple, three just laying on a shelf in the closet that are, they're in, covered in a plastic bag. And, but yeah, wrapped around PVC, and you don't need real thick, like for small things like my banding, you know, that's half inch PVC, but most of the time I buy 3/4 or 1 inch diameter pipe, so that I'm not having to wrap it real small.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
So it works for me. And then I use the, you say, all right, I wrapped it around there. How am I going to hold it? So it doesn't come unwrapped. Well, I buy these rolls of Velcro straps from Home Depot or Lowe's. It doesn't matter. They'll come and you just tear them off, and they're that micro Velcro. And so I'll just put, depending on how thick it is, one or two connected to each other and wrap it around that way. And then that keeps it from coming unrolled. So, yeah.
I just need something that, because I know it's going to be a while, that I'm not going to frame this. I mean, the soonest we'll get a frame is probably this fall.
Yeah.
And I need someplace safe to store it. I don't want anything to happen to it after all this time. And yeah.
Right.
And so I just need to figure something out. But, and okay, so here's my other question. What do you do? Okay, I've finished with all those threads now. When you're done with a project, how soon do you get all your threads put away? Or does it just sit and you look at them for a little bit?
Well, it's a mixed bag for me, because sometimes I'll put them away properly right away.
Mm-hmm.
And other times they just sit there. But the last, I mean, I don't finish that many pieces, but the last couple of times, like Hannah Longstreth, when I got that one finished, I made it a point to put everything away, and so I could find those threads. You know, they were all silks, so I could find those threads the next time I needed them. And so, yeah, I put all that away whatever my storage was, yeah.
And my issue is these are 100/3s, so they're on those spools.
Yeah.
And so, and I had them in like a little plastic box, all the colors that went in there. And now I'm done with them and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have to find, I don't want them just there, because I have to search through that. I have to store that little box, and I have other 100/3s. So I think I'm going to have to sort them all into a bigger container and store them that way. So that way they're not, so they're easier to find when I want to use them again.
Yeah. See, and immediately what comes to mind there, and of course these days this is going to sound like a terrible thing, but what immediately comes to mind there with those spools is a suggestion I had. It's not new, but take those spools to a gun store and look for ammo storage boxes.
Oh yeah.
And apparently, I've never done it, but apparently there are several varieties for different diameters of ammo, whether it's bullets or shotgun shells or whatever it is. And so just take some spools there and look and see what they have. And I bet you'll find something that will give you good organization and protect those spools, keep them, you know, reasonably out of light, if not completely out, but then have them all organized so you can put them in by number or whatever, you know, whatever works for you.
Right. Right. Because that's the thing. I think this looks like something easy where I would buy multiple of the same color because I'm like, oh, I can't find the silly spool that I need. So I need to replace it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot on a spool. So it's not like you go through a whole lot. The only one I ran out of was the one of the green colors. And I did do some ripping of that color, and it's used a lot in that piece. But other than that, and I didn't use that much more. I just needed a little bit.
Right.
So there's tons on the spools. So I hate to just have them kind of multiples of the same thing on that one sort of thing. So.
Yeah. 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 I mean, like I have all of my DMC that's on bobbins. I have that all stored in fishing tackle boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Plano is the brand. But yeah, your sporting goods, your fish tackle bait gun stores are your friends when it comes to storing that stuff. And I'm sure you can get at the container store something similar, but it's going to be more sturdy, built better, built to last, you know, built for banging around on boats and dragging through trucks and all that kind of stuff. So then it's a one-time investment instead of, oh, I bought it and then it broke and then I got to buy it again.
Right.
But I that's where I would head. Take some spools with you and you're going to be so out of place there, but think about it this way. Okay. You're a woman going in with threads, looking for a way to store them. Think about me going in there with threads looking for, you know, so yeah, find comfort in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I will. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It just, those spools are nice, but if you don't wrap them back up and they become a tangled mess, because I think some people put them in boxes where they kind of roll around a little bit. And I'm like, no.
Right.
Because then you have to pick through each one. And
right.
I'm like, to find the color you need. And I'm like, no, I know that's not going to work for me. I know myself well enough to know I'm not going to do that.
Well, and I'll give you an example of that. Now I have these ammo drawers. They're basically tool chest drawers that I got from a friend that I keep a lot of my thread in. Well, I have one drawer that is Krynek thread. Okay, it started out, it was just a few spools, and now it's a few more and a few more. Well, the other day, I was looking for some Krynek thread because I was playing around with a Gayan Rogers thing, and I was just going to do different colors. Well, it's all just thrown in there. So the first thing I had to do is gather them all up,
right,
and then put them all out on a table and then organize them in some way so I could even consider whether I'd use them. And I wasted the better part of an afternoon monkeying around with that, and all the time thinking, you know, if I just get off my butt and go get a box and put these in, I'd be better off. And
and on those Kryneks, I had a friend who was a designer, and she gave me all her leftover that were discontinued because she couldn't use those anymore, and you know, just partial spools, and I use them every now and then. So one day my daughter wanted to earn a little extra money. I paid her for this. but she took all the threads out of that box and organized them by color for me, which was very helpful because then if I want to substitute something, and I know it's a Krynek, I can just look for the color that I want.
Yeah.
And then pull from there. But yeah, when they were just in the box, oh, that was just horrible. It was just a horrible mess.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to go through and try to find something you wanted was a nightmare.
Right. Well, like, yeah. And those dinky little labels on the ends, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a second just to even read them. And, oh, and that was the other thing I discovered was labels coming off.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, so now I put them in knowing where they go, but now I really need to get something and glue them back on. I'm really anxious for the new spools to come out where that problem gets solved. But still, you know, we all have a whole bunch of them.
That's
where the first time I ran into ammo boxes for needlework was to store Krynek threads, because you could put them in there with the end up that showed what color it was and whether it was a braid or a ribbon or whatever it was. And then it was an easy scan, because you would think that you would set up a board on a wall with pegs, and you know, and then you could just slide them on there, especially like all your silk spools, you know, that, but then they're exposed, they're out getting dusty and light, and I don't like that. So
no, and that to me, that takes up a huge amount of wall space too, because I thought about that. I thought, well, you know, I could have Max make me one of these, and you know, if they look pretty on the wall, all those colors. And I thought, that's not gonna work. That's not gonna work for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I need to figure something out and get them put away, because they're so, I want to use them again. They're
right.
Very nice to work with. And I know that if I want to do Autumn Hill, with 100/30, I'm going to have to start figuring out a color conversion and to work around that. But
yeah. All right. So there, anyway. You know, there's a thing now. Okay. You finished Spring Hill. I haven't. But now we know that Karen Kluba has designed a spring, summer, and autumn, and winter is to come. And we know that they're all going to be the same size.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting dilemma, because it takes so long to stitch those monstrosities.
Right.
And then all right, they're all going to be the same size, and there's every reason to either display them all on a wall or to display them seasonally.
Right.
So then now when it comes to framing, you know, do you go ahead and frame the first one, or do you hang on to them and get them all framed at the same time, because you may want the same frame or the same style of frame but different colors?
Right, right. Or even I'm debating, do I really want to do it? I'd stitch mine on 45 count. So do I want to do it that small again? Do I want to do it and just go ahead and use a DMC and use the and do it on a 40 count, which make it just a little bigger?
Yeah.
So I've got to decide that. That's one of the reasons why I'm like, I've got to put this away for a while, because I think I need to make that decision before I frame it, before I even think about framing Spring Hill.
Right.
Because I'm not sure right now. I'm not sure. It'd probably be close enough in size. I probably wouldn't display all four at once. You know, I would probably display them seasonally. But
all four at once, that'd be a lot of wall space, I'm here to tell you.
It would be. And it'd be much more, to me, it'd be much more fun to switch them out.
Yeah.
But my son said, how long did it take you to do? And I said, I think I started in 2021. He goes, okay, that's a year and a half. He goes, and if you have a phase shift, you could start the new one then in 6 months, you know, start it in January, and then you have another year and a half to do another one. And I'm like, okay, thanks, son. Thanks for your encouragement.
Yeah.
but they do take a long time to do. And they're time commitment. But I do love them. I mean, Karen Kluba does such a fabulous designing.
That's pretty much a given there, Karen Kluba, and then you don't have to say really beautiful design, because that just kind of goes with the deal. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So something like that. I mean, that is a huge accomplishment to do something like that. And there's a lot of stitching on those things. It's not like doing a sampler where there's a lot of open space. I mean, there's a lot of dense stitching. What's the feeling when you get done after all that time? Is it celebration? Is it, oh, I wish this hadn't ended? Is it, wow, look what I did? What goes through your head when that happens?
Well, for me, it was celebration. I was so excited that it was done. It felt so good. I tried to finish it a day earlier, but I was just like, I'm tired. I can't put my needle in again. I'm done. because I literally had like 30 stitches left to do.
Oh, jeez.
I couldn't do it. So, but it was. And the thought was, well, do I want to start the next one? It was my next thought after I was like, okay, so now I finished Spring Hill. Do I want to start Autumn Hill? I immediately was thinking of my next project.
Yeah.
And framing up and getting it started. And I thought, I just can't. I can't start any that new. And so it's like, but I want to enjoy the finish too. So it's kind of sad that it's rolled up and in the basement. I almost want to bring it back out and look at it again and just have a way to display it unframed so I can just look at the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because the colors are so gorgeous on it.
Well, see, and I think that's an interesting thing too. You finish something like that. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment and that's beautiful. So then, yeah, you put it in the basement, but it seems to me like you'd want to find some kind of a crossbar T-shaped wood something and just drape it over it so you could look at it for a while.
Right, right, right. And that's right. And I normally would keep it out, but I've got college students coming home this week and yeah. So things are kind of in an uproar. So it's like, okay, it's just, I have to put things away. So this is just going to go downstairs, but I'll probably bring it out and show it to my daughter when she comes home. Cause she's got a good eye for things and see what she thinks, you know, should I start the next one? Should I make the next one a little bigger? She just has a good eye and I can talk that through with her and that'd
right.
be fun. But,
yes.
but yeah, I just, it's like, I want to look at it again. Talking about it makes me want to pull it out and enjoy the finish, you know.
But, right. Well, it's a huge accomplishment. As much stitching as you do, I don't care what it is and how many years you've done it. When you finish something like that, that is just a huge accomplishment, and it's to be celebrated and enjoyed. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And you know what I'd love to see is Jennifer. Jennifer finished hers. She finished hers a while back. But
of
I'd love
course.
To see the two. Yes, but I'd love to see the two of them next to each other, just to see a comparison of the how the colors. Because I did change my colors a little bit.
Uh huh.
Just to see what they look like next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be worth a look too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you know that something like that. A big project like that, and you know there's four of them, and it doesn't matter if it's seasonal or what it is, you know, that doesn't matter. But you know there's four of them, and you know you already own three of the charts. The only chart you don't own is the one that hasn't been published,
right?
So it's an interesting mental process, either at the beginning or at any stage along the way, compared to say. Those little tiny monthly cross-stitch designs, you know, January, February, March, or whatever it is, those things that are fairly quick that you would make into little pillows or stand-ups or something like that. This is, to me, is another level in terms of what you've done, but then also what you do with it.
Right. And I think... It's, I'm a slower stitcher. I know that about myself. I know that if I start another one of these projects, it will take me a year and a half to 2 years to finish.
Yeah.
And that's the debate. Okay. Do I want to commit to that time and whatever? And also because Karen has so many other lovely charts, maybe I want to take a little break and work on one of her other things. But, it is quite a commitment of time, I think.
Yeah.
And because they're huge. They're monsters. There's no doubt about
right,
it. And
right.
Just a couple of pages. It's, I don't know, tons. 9, 13. I didn't even count. I didn't look at that because that made me too stressed out. I just stitched it. I just stitched.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's just interesting because, yeah, what do you do with them? And I think ultimately the majority of people would say, frame them and then hang them seasonally.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a wall where you have seasonal things and that's the centerpiece.
Right. And it'd be fun to rotate through them, you know, to enjoy the stitching of each one that's a little different.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to that winter one.
It'll I do too.
What color she chooses for that.
Well, autumn, those colors are spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, right. Yeah. What she'll do with winter, if it's silvers and blues and whites or just what she does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll do it right. I'm sure she will.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yep. That's interesting. Okay. Sunday, Brandy of Be Stitch Me, a new shop. That's in your area now, right? Where is that from you?
I think it's she's going to be in the Quad Cities area, so it's in Moline, I don't know, 30 minutes away. We're real excited. I mentioned it to my guild members, and they were like, okay, when is she opening? We are going to hit her hard. We want her to stay open. Yeah, because there are a few shops, but they're an hour and a half drive.
Yeah.
Everything. And that's a little far.
Right. Yeah, it sucks up a whole day, basically. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're nice ones. And yes, you can make phone calls and do that. But sometimes you just want to be able to look at the thread colors, look at the linen, look at the chart, look at the models.
Right.
There's something about that.
Well, I'm just guessing because it's not my thing. But I gotta believe that if two or three or four of you make a day trip out of it and go to a shop, that just the social aspects and having lunch and shopping and is just mm-hmm. makes for a terrific day.
Right. And if there's a shop close by and she has room, I have to see if she's gonna how much space she'll be able to have. We'll probably sit and stitch in there.
Darn right, yeah.
With her and I know that would be great fun.
Yeah.
Because we used to do that.
Right. So that's Sunday's guest and we try to as people open new shops, it's such a rarity anymore that people are opening new shops. Try to talk to them and mm-hmm. do a show so that people can know about them and we can learn about their experiences. So that'll be Brandy. And then I don't know if it'll be the following week or the week after, Allison Cole is going to return because Allison Cole was the Australia representative to a big event. I forget what it was called in Uzbekistan.
Yes.
So we're going to get to learn about that. That's a part of the world I don't think we've really had any exposure to. So
No. And she showed some things on Facebook and Instagram, but I'm sure there's lots of stories there.
Yeah.
And I just cannot wait to hear those stories of her experiences while she was there. Because I think it was gold work. I think it was gold work that she was doing.
I think you're right. It was some kind of a gold work, worldwide global extravaganza gathering of the experts type thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get to hear from one of the truly talented experts. Yes.
Yes. It'll be great fun.
Yeah. So that's coming up. And then tonight on the Stitch Hour, Natalie Dupuy is going to join us. And if you watch the segment that she did with us on the 500th show, she showed us a design she's working on that involves two birds that she took off of a tile. Was it a tile?
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
Yeah. That she's developing. And so she's going to take us through the whole process of how she decided that's what she was going to use and what portions and how she's putting it together and then how she transfers it, you're creating the design, transferring it. She's going to take us through that whole process tonight. And I think based on her Instagram, she's already started stitching on it. So we'll probably get to see a partial stitch. But anyway, she's got a whole plan laid out for helping us experience what goes through a designer's mind and how they go about a design such as that. So that'll be fun tonight.
Yeah. Definitely. Always good with Natalie.
Always. That's 8:00 Eastern time on the YouTube channel. Yep. You know, you said you were a slow stitcher. I think we need to have a lesson from Ireland's Electric Needle, Sharon Bruce. If you follow if you follow her on Instagram, she's a machine. She frightens me.
always has something beautiful done.
Right. And not, she doesn't just finish it. She shows it all framed or mounted or whatever, you know.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, okay, so how do you get all that done? That's what I want to know.
And she works. She's got a job. So it's not, you know, we don't even get that excuse.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, no, you can't get out of it like that. No, she's got a job and everything. She's amazing. She does beautiful work too. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. She'll have to show us how she stitches so fast.
Yeah, yeah. Give us a lesson. That's something that, you know, somebody like her, highly skilled, very fast, and I think fast is the real word is efficient. I'm not sure it's fast. I think it's efficient. To sit in a room and just watch somebody like that stitch.
Right.
I don't even think you have to have a conversation. You just watch them go about their you know, their art and make notes. I bet you learn a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if she stitches on more than one project at a time, or if she's a one person, one project at a time. Like maybe she'll start something, but she'll really concentrate on one.
Yeah. Don't know. Don't know. She's a fast one, though. Man.
Yes, she is. She is.
Okay. And that's right. Coming up, also, there'll be a link in the show notes for this this podcast. Beth and I were talking the other day, weeks ago, sometime in the past, about doing some extra videos. So as we start our second 500 shows, we're going to try and put together some extra videos. So one of the things that we did, and this will be the first one, is Debbie.
Boxing.
Yes.
Oh. Now I forgot. From story, Stitch Stories.
Stitched Stories, Debbie Hodge. Yes.
Thank you.
The May 21 show. If you're interested, when we got done, Debbie offered to send each of us one of her kits, and we did not say no. We sent our addresses, is what we did.
Yes.
So very kind of her. But then, so our first of these short video things that we loosely have planned was to do an unboxing of the kits that she sent us. And that was fun to do.
It was fun. It was fun to see what was in there, open it up together and to experience it. And they're beautiful kits.
Yep.
They're beautiful. But yeah.
So that video link will be available and it'll be on the YouTube channel, but we're going to do more of that stuff. Now I was thinking, you know, all the things Jennifer does, got to get my head together with Jennifer, because there's a million little videos we could do with Jennifer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Although she didn't want to do a housewife for me. I was trying to talk her into that, and that just was like a big fat no.
Yep. Yeah. She shut that door. Mm-hmm.
Yep. She did. That's all right, Jennifer.
We'll find things she likes to do, and then we'll do a video. But so anyway, that one, the unboxing of each of the kits that we got, and you'll get to see what's in the thing, and then we talk about how we would approach stitching them, and it was fun to do. Interesting.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
So we have that. So many things. We have now coming up on June 22nd, we're going to start a project with Gayanne Rogers. And more information coming up on that. But Gayanne will have a pre-sale, GayanneRogers.com, and you can get the chart from her. And then we're partnering with Kathy at Needle in a Haystack, and she'll have kits for us, different colorways, and it's going to be fun. So, and Gayanne Rogers pieces are always fun to do. And if you've never done counted canvas and, you know, haven't had any interest, give this a shot, because
she holds your hand. There's no doubt about it. She holds your hand through stitching the piece. It's wonderful.
Yep. So,
and if you're a more experienced stitcher, what's going to be fun is changing the colors. And then it's a mystery. So I think you get to make a choice along the way on how you're going to stitch each section, on your stitching the sum of the sections. So
right,
that's going to make it even more interesting.
Yep.
To see everybody's different combination.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to figure a hashtag out for this, Gary.
I think we are.
On Instagram. Wow.
It's the Saint-Tropez. What is she calling that? The Saint-Tropez mystery or something?
Mm.
We could just do Saint-Tropez. That would work. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, I just started her Lady Mary geometric the other day. And it's the first GAN I've done in a while. And it was immediately... You know, how good her instructions are, how clear. There's no question about what to do, where and how, and right. You're off and running. Yeah, she's, mm-hmm. Yep. So we've got that coming up. Now, you did a fun thing for me, and I appreciate it. You dyed me some yellow linen.
And it is yellow.
Yes, and it came yesterday, and I forgot to tell you.
Oh, it did. It did. Is it too yellow?
No, it's beautiful.
All right.
Yeah.
It's bright. I thought you might need sunglasses with it.
It's bright. Right. There's no question. No, you gave me that's just an absolute lemon yellow, bright 40 count linen.
Yes.
And I'm going to stitch. What am I stitching on? What chart am I doing?
I thought you were going to try to do a Bristol on it.
Yes, that's right. I'm doing the Sassy Jack's Sassafras Sandler's Usher, right?
Yeah, Alice something Usher.
Yes.
I can never remember her middle name.
That one.
Yes.
So Beth dyed for me a bright yellow, and then I'm going to use a chocolate brown thread and stitch a sampler that normally would be on an off-white with red thread.
Yes. And I think you might need to try a few browns.
Yes.
I mean, you might want to, because I think I laid some DMC on it. And the one I originally thought, oh, this is the color. I'm like, that doesn't quite look right to me. But I think the only way you'll really know, because it's so bright, is if you stitch like a letter or part of a letter, a little square in it. But yeah, it is bright. It'll be fun to see what you get, how far you get. I'm afraid it's going to hurt your eyes. That's like, ooh.
Well, when I put the light on it, it'll definitely reflect off. I guarantee you that. Yep. But see, that was because you and I had selected a brown ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was my reaction when I got it was, wait a minute, I need to look at several browns here because I'm not sure what we selected is the one.
Right.
And then, yeah, that went through my mind, too. I need to get some browns and stitch some blocks and then see what I like. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And because it's the little, if you put the whole chunk down, the whole skein down, it'll look different than even if you just do a few stitches because the color intensity. So.
Yeah. Well, that was just it, is... Because, see, that's the intensity that I had envisioned.
Really?
Yeah, you hit it. No, I wanted screaming yellow. Yeah.
Okay, well, you got it.
And I got it, yeah. So, but then now it's getting the right brown to go with that. Yeah, got to play with it a little bit.
And I really went, before I mailed it to you, I thought, oh, he said he wanted yellow, but this is really yellow. And I thought, you know, if I was going to re-dye it, I probably would have, I thought, well, I would over-dye it in brown. And I thought, well, this is stupid. That's what he's going to do. He's going to stitch over it in brown. It's going to be the same thing as if you over-dyed it in brown.
Yeah.
Except it's letters.
Right.
So that's why I mailed it off to you. I thought, oh, it's, you know, that's what you're really doing is you're placing the color on top and it's going to totally change that fabric.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think so. And see, you know, that it's, for me, it's the fun of this is just got to take a run at it, got to try.
Right.
And
how do you know if you never try?
Right. Because, yeah, I mean, I could go conventional, you know, off-white, antique, whatever, and red. Pick a red, mm-hmm. doesn't matter, and stitch it. But
right.
It just seems like you just got to try every now and then. Just I got to, you know, let me see what yellow and brown looks like. You know, a Bristol sampler in yellow with brown letters. You know, why not? So
right. And you know, the little girls, if they'd had choices, they would have probably chosen something right. different too.
Guaranteed.
You know, I want mine to be.
Right. Oh yeah. Put five girls in a room and, you know, they all got to do it different, but you right. know, I'm sure right. they were all said you could choose any color you want as long as it's red, you know?
Right. Right. This is what we got, girls. Yeah, this is what yeah. we're using.
So So thanks for that. It'll be interesting to, as soon as we get the chart to, play around with that. Well, actually I don't even need the chart, do I? I got plenty of work to do. Just simply deciding what thread it is. So what am I talking about?
Well, and this made Kim mention something last time she was on, that she took her Bristols and took them to Staples or one of those places and bound it all up in a ring. And right. and it got me thinking. I don't like those bound ring things, but I do like having them in a loose leaf folder. And I'm thinking I might do something like that. I actually might make photocopies of it because I'm pretty hard on my charts anyway. And then slip those in, put them on good paper, slip them into a three ring binder, all mm-hmm. my Bristols.
Yeah.
And have them that way. And I'm thinking, ooh, that was a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you could really use them.
Yeah. And then keep the originals safe and clean.
Right. Yeah. Clean. And then the other thing is, because we've been talking about stash busting, put on it, these are photocopies, please destroy.
Right.
You know, just because when we've cleaned out other people's stash, we've run across photocopies. And I'm like, okay, ladies, we can't sell this. This has got to be trash. Pull it, trash it. Because you can't. You don't want to do that. So, but yeah, just put something on there saying this is a photocopy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good idea from Kim, because, you know, we've talked about this many times. To me, you look at Bristol samplers as a catalog resource.
Mm-hmm.
You don't buy one as a project. You can buy as many as you want, but you look at them more as a resource to pull from for other things.
Right.
Yeah. In my mind anyway. I mean, certainly there's nothing, they're beautiful if you stitch the whole thing, no question about it, but right. they just offer so much more beyond stitching the Bristol sampler. And
right.
To put them in a three ring binder and post-it notes and notes on the edges and, you know, use this on this project and mm-hmm. yeah.
And just like, there's been times when I've needed something, like a small something, and I'm thinking, oh, I've got to go dig through all my charts. And but if you had that there, that resource, you know, you need an alphabet, you need something, yep. you know, perfect. That's a perfect resource for it.
Yep.
So.
Oh yeah,
I loved your idea.
Yeah, and you'd be hard pressed to find a better alphabet source than two or three Bristol samplers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything. Even if it's just to put your name at the bottom of a project, but it's like that the Sarah Parr one that I did. You know, that I went right to the Bristol sampler when I changed the verse. I went right to a Bristol sampler and pulled an alphabet and. That's what I'm using.
For the verse that you're doing over one.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it was just automatic. You know what I need? All right. I need an alphabet. What kind of lettering do I want? That's going to look good here. Pour through some Bristol sampler charts. There's one right there. That'll work. Chart it out. Mm-hmm. Got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. I was trying to think the other day, is there another chart or design or series that carries value so far beyond just stitching that project? And I don't think that there is.
No. The thing that would come the closest maybe are some of the Quakers, because
yeah.
they make nice individual motifs. So, you know, you pull one out, you need a pinball for, you know, you're making an exchange or you're making an ornament. Those are easy motifs too, to totally pull out and use in something, or you need to fill a space, or you want to, yeah, you know, those would be the only other one.
Yeah.
And those would be fun to me. Those are, they're interesting too, because there's a lot of similarities in those Quakers, but there's so many differences in, there's a lot of different motifs in them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that is, yeah, that's one, all those little medallions and all those things that you can just use any number of places. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think the cool thing is it doesn't just apply to cross stitch.
Right.
You know, no matter what your technique is, a Bristol sampler or Quakers like that, you can take from those designs and use them in a counted canvas one, or, you know, I mean, the young people like to have a painted canvas with sayings on them.
Right.
Well, you don't need a painted canvas. Just get a, you know, figure out what your saying is and get a Bristol sampler and chart it out. And
right. And just go and stitch it.
Yep. And, yeah, pick a script or a block letter or all caps or whatever it is. And, yeah, I think there, that's the cool thing is there's value way beyond cross stitching. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 'Cause you could, I mean, even embroidery, surface right. embroidery. Yeah. You could chart, you could, put down an alphabet or any of those motifs. You know, think about your Quaker samplers, those medallions or stuff. Think about what you could do with surface embroidery with those.
Right, right. Just, you know, trace out the basic design and then just use your stitches to fill it in.
There's a Mary Corbett project. Maybe I'll write to her, Mary Corbett, and say, hey, Mary, do this project.
Because she doesn't have anything better right. to do.
Yeah, the response is crickets. Stay in your lane. I got this covered.
Oh, and you have you been on Mary Corbett with one T site with her book she's been releasing?
Yep.
That was terrible temptation.
Yeah, she's
terrible temptation.
Yeah, she's just trouble. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I read every post she does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's an ongoing troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. She is. Yeah. She is all the time.
Yep. So there we have it. All right. We're going to call this, I think. Tonight, Natalie Dupuy, don't miss it. 8:00 on the YouTube channel. Don't miss that. Brandy of Be Stitch Me, a new shop opening up on Sunday. The unboxing of the Stitch Stories kits. That was fun. Yeah, we got done. I thought, we got to do another one. What are we going to do it on?
I don't know.
We got to figure it out.
Think about that.
Yep. All that coming up. So, you know, the second 500 shows, yeah, we're not letting up. Mm-mm. Nope, not going into coast mode here. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.